Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody.
Kane is in the building.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Fail policy after fail policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
I'm always wondering what the founders, what they thinking. Where's our Washingtons, our Thomas Paines, our Jeffersons and Lincolns? Why you at the red carpet club partying and drinking the USS Liberty instead of these thinking? So let me tell you what's really going on. Hope and change is code for your liberty's gone. Yes, we can. Propaganda for a socialist song. You need to realize he's breaking America's bond. It's planned all along, and you need to realize that winning the future is just a future full of lies. He's wearing a disguise, let it drill in the gulf. Because behind the sheep clothing, you know that you're just a woke.
All
right.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The heart of a coward caught in foreign policy forgets we are endowed by a creator, no apology. Rule more like a king when we were just some colonies. The patriots are marching, creating the greatest following, especially with the president like Barack Hussein, who proved he'd rather be playing a golf game than take care of the lame, the sick and heavy laden. Instead of helping Libya, he just spit on the nation. But what can you expect from a FDR clone with no guts? You lost our trust, you ain't got a backbone. Chicago is your home, it shouldn't be DC. We the people speaking up, tell me can you hear? We alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
For Barack is soon to set sail. Vote for O is just hope and fail. I'd rather have a tax break in any light rail. Uphold it, you can stick to his word from his campaign trail. His issue with integrity, it's just very evident. Guantanamo being only one piece of the evidence. Flip-flops to D.C. would be a nice sentiment. Come this election, I hope we change the president, alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
All right, and welcome to C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. Obviously, this is not C. Robert Jones. This is David Graham, and I'll be hosting the show tomorrow night. But I tuned in because I saw that they were waiting for the host to call in, and I know you guys are lining up to listen to his show. So I thought, well, maybe I can vamp until he gets here, at least keep some audience for him so that he'll have something to some people to talk to. Calling number is 347-884-8500. And I wouldn't mind if somebody gave a call in right now. And we're going to have a chat and kind of vamp and, until Doc Jones gets in here. until then, I've launched the chat room, but I'm the guy that has the trouble with the chat room. Right now it says connecting. So if you guys can talk amongst yourselves, if you logged in, you know, and you're still hanging around, you're checking back in to see if he's called in yet, just check it out, and you can talk amongst yourselves. But if you want to talk to me, you have to call in. Call in number 347-884-8500. Or if you want, 877-666-9305. I forget, he's got that toll-free number, too. Once again, this is David Graham, and I am scheduled to host the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report tomorrow night. And like I said, since I have the information for a show, and I saw that no one had called in, I just wanted to kind of took it upon myself, and I don't think you'll mind. Hopefully he won't get mad. It's a chance I'm willing to take. So I did my own show earlier on Stay Mad Radio, on Blog Talk Radio, and you can find me, I am Anti-Commie on Blog Talk Radio. I am Anti-Commie on Twitter. David Graham on Facebook, LinkedIn, Foursquare, whatever else I can reach from TweetDeck, because it was real convenient once I found out that TweetDeck can post to multiple social sites. I should probably try and add Blog Talk Radio on it, but the messaging system here on Blog Talk Radio does a good enough job of spamming people. I mean, as I know, one guy reported me. He says, "You're now banned, and I've reported you as a show not worth listening to." And I was like, "Dude, you know, do what you got to do." I didn't send all the things that you're getting. I sent one. I clicked it once. You know, and he's, "Oh, you're sending multiple things. You're spamming me." No, I'm not. And since this new studio kicked in, and you have the option of promoting your show, everybody's been getting multiple messages of "Hey, I'm broadcasting now. I'm broadcasting in an hour. I'm on the air now." You know, 5 and 6 in a row. And I don't know why, but this guy chose me out of all the people. He probably did it to all the people that he's getting multiple messages from, but he banned me. He chose me. "All right, you do what you got to do, my friend. You do exactly what you got to do." He's going to list my show as not worth listening to. He's going to list it as crap, meaning not worth listening to, because he spams. You kidding me? You know what? I'm glad I'm banned. I sent him a message back. I'm glad you did it. Get over yourself. All right, once again, if you're looking for Doc Jones, he's a little late calling in, and I thought I would give him a hand and at least hopefully maybe keep some of his audience intact while he calls in. If he doesn't call in, I probably won't do the whole night because I got a whole show lined up for tomorrow night. I did see where the topic was going to be government handouts soar as private pay dives to historic lows. And paychecks from private business shrank to their smallest share of personal income in U.S. history during the first quarter of this year. A USA Today analysis of government finds, I just lost my place here. Where? USA Today of government data finds that it was the lowest. Private pay was the lowest. All right, I see what he did. Once again, I just took it upon myself to try and call in. I wasn't really prepared to jump in, but if figure I could vamp and, until he called in. He said he was going to call in from wherever he was last night when we talked. So at the same time, government provided benefits from Social Security, unemployment insurance, food stamps, and other programs rose to a record high in the first 3 months of 2011. And it's by mere coincidence that my show was of a similar topic. Because how would you feel if you discovered that you had contributed to the destruction of the greatest country in the history of the world. How would you feel if you discovered that you had contributed to the downfall / destruction of the greatest country in the history of the world? Now, let's not conflate our country, our nation, with some of the people who have run it. Let's instead look at how this country was founded, you know, as in the intention of the founding. The divinely inspired idea. What other nation has ever done what we have done? I'm not talking about dropping nukes on Japan. Yes, we're the only nation that ever dropped nukes. And we've taken plenty of heat for it. We're the ones that we get castigated for doing it. Nobody ever uses the example of the Japanese leader who led his country in such a way as to invite such retaliation. You never thought of it that way, did you? But what I'm talking about here is the founder setting up such a system to include checks and balances so as to hold the government in check, or so they thought, as it turns out. We found out that whatever can be thought up can be thought around. Or justified. An email acquaintance of mine on July 4th sent out an email regarding a George Washington statue. And he wrote, there is no statue of a founding father that totally captures the Declaration of Independence more than this statue of George Washington. And he goes on, he's got some history of who sculpted it and when and who commissioned it and all that. And he continues, the statue today sits on the second floor near the elevators of the Smithsonian of History and Technology. By the way, if anybody wants to get a direct message to me, because since I am not in the chat room, maybe you can try Twitter. Link up to me, follow me at AntiCommy, and send me a message. I got my tweet deck up. You can send a note through there. Let me describe the statue. He writes, Washington sits on the seat of power. He is dressed in the robes of authority. Yes, he is a symbol of power. He's holding a sword. But look at the sword. Look where the handle of the sword is. The handle of the sword points away from him. Points to us. The handle of the sword in George Washington's outstretched hand points to we, the people. The sword is out in his outstretched hand for us to take. He surrenders his power, knowing we are the ones with all the power. It is not government, it is not the Congress, and not the president. It is the people. But there's more. If you look on the statue to Washington's other hand, the free hand, the hand not holding the sword, it's raised above his head, and he's pointing. He's pointing to the heavens. He's pointing to the Creator, the divine providence. That person is God. And me, all I'm saying is that this is the type of country our founders created. You know, the subject line refers to government-provided benefits. Is that the latest name for it? I got up to as far as entitlements. I didn't know there was a new designation. Government-provided benefits. I'll take his word for it. But see, when you look at the benefits and you get past the fraud and abuse, I don't bother to mention waste because it's redundant. But all that, it's still way more than we can afford. The boot was lifted from the throat of the economy. Unemployment benefits would be far less necessary. People have productive jobs. They could get off food stamps. Once they're off food stamps, then maybe they could continue their momentum and get a better job and start feeling better about themselves and gain more confidence and lift themselves out of their current situation and become a productive member of society and not just a quote-unquote taker. Call a number if you want to call in. I wouldn't mind it a bit since I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants here. 347-884-8500. And the only way to message me is on Twitter. Follow me at AntiCommy with a K. And just send me a mention and I got my tweet deck up. I might see it. Try to keep an eye on it. Again, this is David Graham. Just kind of on the fly filling in for Doc Jones. I know he's got he's on the road. He said he was going to get his show one way or the other, so perhaps he'll call in a little bit later. I'm just kind of going over some of the notes I had for my show that I did on Stay Mad Radio just a little while ago. And like I said, I'm probably not going to do very long here. If he doesn't call in, we're going to have to close out the show. But I will be on tomorrow night for the full show, and hopefully you guys will be sticking around and interacting with me and arguing with me and stimulating our thinking processes. But if you like, I can get back to the notes here because, I understand if you're out of work. I understand if you're between jobs. I understand if you're taking some time. But why do you have to take the path of least resistance? What do I mean? I mean, it's easy to be spoon-fed. That's a good example of the path of least resistance. All you have to do is open your mouth. And my wife used to work in a group home with, handicapped people, either mentally and or physically. And I myself used to have a client that was both physically and mentally handicapped. And one of the things that we found out about some of these people, because these people were in state schools for much of their life, and then there was a law passed. They had to close the state schools, and people, individuals took these people. And in theory, you know, it worked. But some of the things didn't work as well as they thought it would. And there was, you know, fraud and abuse and, you know, things going on. But that's getting away from my point. My point was there were some workers that had clients who were very compassionate, and they would like to help. They just wanted to help so badly. They wanted to help their client, and they would get them dressed. They would help them, you know, here and there, and they would help them into their chair, help them out of their chair. They would feed them right to the point of taking the food off of their plate with a spoon and bring it up to their mouth. So they're just sitting there, and all they do is open their mouth. When they are fully capable, 9 times out of 10, of manipulating a silverware utensil to lift food into their mouth and feed themselves. What I'm getting at is, it's a learned behavior. I'm going to take a quick break and let you listen to his opening song again. By the way, his son wrote that song, and I think it's pretty darn good. So I'll be back in just a quick few minutes.
Kane is in the building.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
I'm always wondering what the founders, what they thinking. Where's our Washingtons, our Thomas Paines, our Jeffersons and Lincolns? Why you had the red carpet club partying and drinking the USS Liberty is steadily sinking. So let me tell you what's really going on. Hope and change is code for your liberty's gone. Yes, we can. Propaganda for a socialist song. You need to realize he's breaking America's bond. His plan all along. And you need to realize that winning the future is just a future full of lies. He's wearing a disguise. Let us drill in the gulf. Because behind the sheets rolling, we know that you're just a woke. Alright.
All over the world, nobody.
All right, we're back. David Graham here, filling in for the time being on the Conservative Report, Dr. C. Robert Jones. I was waiting for him to call in. He said he was going to call in. I'm going to give him about 15 more minutes. I took a break because my wife came down. We don't want to interrupt, and she was, what are you doing? So I had to explain that. I kind of took it upon myself to fill in here just to see if he would be calling in, and hopefully he'd be able to keep his audience and keep his numbers up. So what I was getting at right before I went to break was it's a learned behavior when somebody starts doing stuff, you know, for somebody else. That person is just gonna back off. They're gonna put less effort in. They're gonna put less and less and less effort in to the point where all they're just doing is sitting in a wheelchair, and the hardest thing they have to do is hold their head erect. That's the hardest thing they have to do. Food's coming towards me. Okay, I need to open my mouth. All right. And they've learned that. And there's nothing, like I said, there's nothing stopping them. Especially, you know, the guy that I had. Oh, he would love to have gotten away with that. I tell you what, not with me. He did not. And he also had to use his manners because he was capable of that too. So I held him to everything he was capable of. And, you know, he's better for it. But that's what I mean when I say the path of least resistance. If somebody's going to do everything for you, why not just sit back, and, you know, and not do anything, you know? is when a you know, when the politician comes around to the neighborhoods or to, you know, to the town halls, and he promises to, he'll make sure that, or she will make sure that you or your families won't go hungry. All you got to do is give them the vote. I mean, I get it. Family is the most important thing, right? Is it? Because if you live in a place that ends up being a black and white world where everyone looks the same, we have to watch every word that you say. You can't even put an inflection in your voice, or the thought police will get you. You can't read books you want. You read books you're told to read. Of course, I'm referring to communism. Specifically, East Germany under communism. Because I have a friend that I met on Twitter who escaped, let me add, narrowly escaped as a teenager from East Germany, which was controlled by communist Russia. And she escaped, and I've had her on my show. Her name is Addie. And she has got some very amazing stories. And, you know, I'm going to have her on again. My show is Stay Mad Radio next Tuesday. And we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, her childhood and, you know, things that she can remember. I mean, she's definitely a senior citizen. And, you know, her brain is pretty spry. And she's willing to come on and talk about it. She's never told her story. She's never talked to anybody about it. So Stay Mad Radio is where you'll get the exclusive. I've had her on. You can go to my archives there and check out the show with her, where I interviewed her in it. And but the point is, you and your family are being fed, and that's important. But look how you're living. It's not a good trade. I mean, she sent me some emails that you just wouldn't believe. You know, she remembers suicide being rampant because people just couldn't take it. You know, you'd be walking down the road and you'll see a corpse hanging from a tree where somebody just checked out. Another time, she was swimming in a river, and you know, a Russian officer. A dead Russian officer popped up right next to her, and she almost drowned. I mean, it's not good. Now, the point, I guess, is family's the most important thing. Yeah. When you have the means and opportunity to provide, you know, normalcy to it, but tyranny gets tighter and tighter. You know, so suppose you elect somebody and you're spared some temporary discomfort in doing so, but in the meantime, people that get elected for promises like that end up bankrupting this country and turn it into a socialist /communist country. So let me ask you this: what good does your temporary pleasure do when now we all have to live under communism? You think it can't happen here? Look around. Listen to the immigrants from communist countries. Learn how it happens. I mean, it's all following a template, and they can see it coming. So because you wanted some entitlements, we're all subject to the result. Calling number is 347-884-8500. I'm just going to give it another few minutes here. And maybe another 15 minutes. See if Doc Jones was going to call in. Hopefully everybody didn't already leave. Again, if you're in the chat room, I can't help you. You're going to have to call in. I can't see anything going on in the chat room. You guys are talking amongst yourselves, and, you know, that's fine. I just, right now, my chat room is still connecting. And it will do that. But I am pretty sure that when I launch it, it launches so that people who can use it are able to. Here's another thought. Here's another thought for you. Instead of just going on to the, you know, the giant wide path of least resistance, what if you at least cast a glance to the narrow road of self-discipline? Cast a glance to the narrow road of not blaming others. The narrow road of introspection. If you ask yourself, you know, why you're out of work? I mean, most people lose a job; they lose it, quote unquote, through no fault of their own. But I'll bet if they really looked at it honestly, and they were honest with themselves, be able to learn on some level it was their fault. Think about it. The whole through no fault of their own is just something so that not make people feel bad and destroy their self-esteem, the cherished self-esteem. It's not your fault. We just had to let somebody go. It's not your work. It's the department. Whatever other excuses there are, you know, when you're the one that's let go. But give this a half a thought too. What company in their right mind is going to lay off when they have to lay somebody off? Is going to lay off their best worker? Which one is going to lay off their most productive person? When things get tight, a business has to downsize. They have to get rid of some people. Oh, well, let's get rid of Joe. He's in charge of our most productive department. Company is going to use their brain, and actually they're in business. They don't have to give this much of a thought at all. If they have to lay somebody off, they're going to lay off their least productive employees. They are going to keep their most productive people. So I ask you, why wasn't that you? Why weren't you the most productive person you could be? You ever think of that? Now, I believe in tough love, but I'm not a big meanie. You know, if you have hard times, use the entitlements to get through. Use the benefits. Use the whatever it is, the insurance, whatever they call it. What do they call it? What's he write? Government. Use the government-provided benefits. Use them. That's what they're for. I mean, do protect yourself and your family. Don't get comfortable in poverty. Ben Franklin said, "I am for doing good to the poor, but I differ in opinion of the means." I think the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading or driving them out of it. The system, it bugs me because it's set up to install as many people as they can possibly get on it. However they can. And first, you know, remember, first it was called welfare. Nobody wanted to be the one on welfare. Nobody wanted to be known in the neighborhood as the one on welfare. There was a degree of shame, you know, if you had to be the one on welfare. We can't shame anybody. We can't have shame. No. We need to change the name so that people don't feel shamed into receiving the money from the government that we're paying them to do nothing but vote. So will they change it to? Pardon me. They changed it to assistance. That's right. Now see here, there's a little less stigma attached to that classification of people. Assistance. See, we're getting there. See, I'll get up to as far as entitlements. So now everyone wants what he or she is entitled to. And it's a system which actually invites more people, whether they're fully qualified or not. You know, it's like they'll find a loophole. What mentality has this created? Well, you know what it is. I don't have to tell you what it is. But add to the entitlement mentality an instant gratification society. And boy, howdy, the progressives are off to the races. I urge you to study exactly what the progressives really want to do. A great way to do that, as a side note, is to get my book, Stay Mad, from Lulu.com. That's right. Lulu.com. Stay Mad, Observations of a Proletarian. Break down in my book quite a bit about the agenda. As I'm talking here, I'm looking for the soundbite that Doc Jones plays for the network he's with. I was going to see if I could get that out there. Just forgot what it was called. There's a lot of Obama stuff here. Well, all right, let me get back to this. You got laid off from a job. You need your entitlements. There are no jobs that can support the lifestyle to which you have become accustomed. And here's the thing. Even if you do get a job at a lower paying rate, your benefit gets cut disproportionately. In other words, if you play by the rules, let's say you get $400 a week. I mean, this is going to be an exaggerated anecdote, but you'll be able to see my point. And I don't think anybody's going to be able to argue with the point that I'm going to make here. So you get from unemployment $400 a week. You go out and you find yourself a job because you're somewhat motivated and you want to do the right thing. Say the job pays you $200 a week, right? Well, your benefit will get cut to like $50 a week. So for working, I mean, that's an exaggerated example, but for going out, taking initiative, going out, getting off the couch, you're going to make $250. But if you sit on the couch and don't try to get another job, you'll get the full $400. But you can't, you can't tell me, I mean, that's like I said, that's exaggerated, I understand. But doesn't make any sense, does it? That is how it's set up. Maybe not quite to that degree, but, that's how it's set up. It's happened to me. And why would they discourage you from even trying? Because the system is set up to ensnare you. Well, how can it not be? Honestly, how can it not be? But there are people who are worse off than you. Let me show you how the government punishes them. There's a group of people out of work, down on their luck, and they don't qualify for anything. Who? Why? Those are self-employed people. You don't get any unemployment benefits after losing work, after having been self-employed. You don't get any unemployment benefit unless you're set up as a corporation. And you're up to date with your state unemployment tax. And as an example, I had to dissolve my corporation and become a sole proprietor. I couldn't afford the hoops I had to keep jumping through to keep, the corporation status. And at that time, I knew I was forfeiting any unemployment benefit I might get, but times were tight. I was struggling as it was. So, even though my small business is in the Obama recovery, which by the way means it gets smaller and smaller when you plug anything into a Obama recovery, a small business gets smaller, big business gets bigger. What are you going to do? But I still made too much to qualify for any assistance to maintain the standard of living to which I had become accustomed. But I'm not asking for assistance. I'm just using it as an example. It's an example that I know about because it happened to me. So here you have. Some are more equal than others. Which ones qualify? It's the workers who have not embarked on a business adventure, who have not taken any risk to compete and provide for themselves, who have not made the investment to start a business, who have not worked all the hours to build a business. Why is it hard? Why do they make it so hard for someone who has taken initiative? Answer, because they don't want initiative takers. They can't compete with risk takers. And after all, the risk may pay off and someone may become rich. No. The best way to control the masses is to have the most number of people working for someone else. So if they lose their job, they have them right into the spider web. And this way, they can pick on employers about being greedy, etc. What, are you going to tell me I'm wrong about this? 347-884-8500. If it's not the case, explain. Explain to me how it does work. You know? Liberals only measure the intentions of their ideas. They only measure what they think it should do. They only measure how they think people should react. They don't measure the in the gutter, on the ground, in the ditch results. They don't look, they're not where the rubber meets the road. After all, they're the elite. They're above it, well above it. I happen to play I happen to play the Milton Friedman clip that that Doc played last night, and I can find it again here. I think I saw it. Milton Friedman. No. Let's see if this. I just had it. Hold on. Milton Friedman. Let's see. If this is it.
When you see around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries, when you see so few haves and so many have-nots, When you see the greed and the concentration of power with it, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism and whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. In the only cases in which the masses have escaped from the kind of grinding poverty you're talking about, the only cases in recorded history are where they have had capitalism and largely free trade. If you want to know where the masses are worst off, it's exactly in the kinds of societies that depart from that. So that the record of history is absolutely crystal clear that there is no alternative way so far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed by a free enterprise system.
But it seems to reward not virtue as much as ability to manipulate the system.
And what does reward virtue? You think the communist commissar rewards virtue? You think a Hitler rewards virtue? You think, excuse me, if you'll pardon me, do you think American presidents reward virtue? Do they choose their appointees on the basis of the virtue of the people appointed or on the basis of their political clout? Is it really true that political self-interest is nobler somehow than economic self-interest? You know, I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. And just tell me where in the world you find these angels who are going to organize society for us. Well, I don't even trust you to do that.
It never gets old, really. I mean, there's so much in there. And to me, greed is so, it's subjective and relative. And that's what I was going to add to that. You know, there's different categories of giving. I got a call up. Let's check this out and see who's up. You're on the Conservative Report. Dr. C. Robert Jones, David Graham filling in.
Hey, it's Steve from Indianapolis. How you fellas doing tonight?
Hi, Steve. Am I even broadcasting?
Yeah, you're broadcasting.
I don't have the chat room, so I don't know if there's any response going on. I figured I'd just see if I could hold down the fort until Doc Jones called in. Doesn't look like he's going to. But go ahead, Steve. What can I do for you?
Okay, I got the tax rates. You hear Democrats talking about half cuts and half revenues, right? Okay, to make Medicare and all the entitlements lifelong sustaining. Okay, to do that, we would have to take the 10% tax rate, the bottom, to 18%, the 25% for middle class to 45%, and the top tax rate for 35% to 61%. So if people don't want to pay those tax rates, then we – the liberals, those are tax rates they'll have to pay if we're going to do half cuts and half revenues to fully fund entitlements, lifelong sustaining, and they don't want to pay it, which I already talked to them. They don't want to pay 45%, 18%, and 61%. Then the conversation about cutting spending should be over. What do you think about that?
You broke up just a tiny bit, but let me see what you're saying is to fund the entitlements, you have to raise the tax rate so astronomically that cuts alone aren't going to do it.
Can you hear me pretty well? Can you hear me pretty good?
Well, for right now, yeah. I just don't know
okay.
Where you're going with.
In the polls, they're saying the people want half of the plan to be revenues and half of it to be budget cuts.
All right.
Okay, so to whatever the president signs, they want half revenues and half budget cuts. Well, to fully fund entitlements to make them lifelong sustaining, Medicare and all the entitlements are going bankrupt. Okay,
all right, I got the rate. I know what you're saying about the rate. Now, do those numbers include the other half if they cut? You know what I mean?
These are the numbers if they cut. If they do half of it in cuts, these are the numbers. I got the numbers for fully too, fully paid for by tax rates raising.
Lay that number on me. What would it have to be to fully fund it?
Man, you couldn't even do it. You wouldn't even be able to do it. It would go from 10% bottom to 25%, middle class 25% to 66%, and top rate from 35% to 88% to fully fund entitlements lifelong just by raising taxes alone. It's impossible. It's not.
Yeah, but that's what they would love to do, don't you think?
I talked to liberals. They said they don't want to pay those taxes for lower and middle class. I told them your taxes will go up. They said they don't want to do it.
They just don't want to.
I told them if you don't want to pay for it, because you know I talked to them. If you don't want to pay for it, then stop saying that we need to raise taxes.
Exactly.
We want the rich to pay 61%, and then we don't want to touch anybody else. Well, Medicare will still go bankrupt. That's what I told them. Even if we raise the tax on the rich, Medicare is still going bankrupt. Either way it goes.
Yeah, they're so caught up in the class warfare, you know. And what I was saying, right when I took your call was, Milton Friedman, he was talking about, and Phil Donahue, they were talking about greed. And, you know, it's a relative thing. You know, like he says, no, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. I mean, what a great line. But there's also different categories of giving. You know, of course you can give money, but, I mean, there are those people who give their time, and there's those people that give their knowledge. And there, you know, there are those people who use their time and their knowledge and run charities, you know, to raise money for other people. But
I got the numbers. So I didn't mean to cut you off, sir. From 1965, healthcare costs grew by 49,000%, which is 7 times the rate of inflation. So from 1965, if you calculate inflation, it's 7 times the rate of inflation. Well, I actually bought a book. I got a book. It's 7 times the rate of inflation.
I know. So it's not just inflation that's raising the prices. Why? What's doing it?
Well, I got a book by neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock. He was talking about how 170 years ago, Rockefeller had bought up the medical schools, and we were on a holistic system, and he switched it over to a drug-based system. It may be true, may not be true. You know, it's a conspiracy, but we can't buy drugs from Canada. That costs us an extra $500 billion a year. You know, a lot of things that's causing technology and all these different artificial legs and all this stuff. We can't afford it, so it's insane to even discuss it.
We can't afford it. No, I mean, I know what it is, but here's another quote that I have here from C.S. Lewis. You know, I was talking about, you know, what's going to fulfill the quota of giving? It's never going to be enough. You know, here's the quote. Of all tyrannies, a tyranny exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It may be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. That was C.S. Lewis in the quote that I had put in my book.
Yeah, you got selfish. Robin Hood, they think Robin Hood can just rob on and on forever, and we just rob the rich, and the economy will prosper, and everything will be okay.
but as I pointed out with Doc Jones a while ago, that Robin Hood, anybody who was rich was government. So Robin Hood, robbing the rich, he was robbing the government and taking it and giving it back to the people who they were taking it from. So my point is, Obama can't claim he's being a Robin Hood. You see what I mean? Because he's the government. He's the taker.
Yeah, what's the panel of 15 unelected bureaucrats that get to cut spending? He's doing the same thing that Paul Ryan's doing, except his unelected bureaucrats decide what gets cut. So it's going to get cut either way it goes.
That's true. All right, listen, Steve, I'm coming up to about the amount of time that I was willing to put into this show for tonight. So I'm going to be close it out, and I want to thank you very much for calling. Are you in the chat room at all?
Oh, no, sir. What happened? Dr. Jones's phone was acting up or something.
I don't know. He said he was going to call, but when I checked in just to check in with the show, I found out he hadn't called yet. See, I'm scheduled to.
You did the whole show? Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I did the whole show. I'm scheduled to do his show tomorrow night, so I had his info to get into. I hacked in, but I figured I'd kind of vamp. Vamp for him and to see if he'd call in a little bit later. But I really got to run, and I want to thank you for calling in, Steve. And always good to talk to you. Maybe sometime you can check out my show. It's called Stay Mad Radio. I am Anti-Commie on BTR, and I am David Graham. So I would like to thank everybody else if you're even listening out there in the chat room, because I can't see the chat room. Stay strong, and I'll see you guys tomorrow night right here on the Conservative Report.
God bless.
God bless. Thanks.
For the best.